the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. It's Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I'm sorry. Today is February 9th, 2018. I can't believe it, man. We're almost at the deadline date, according to Guy McPherson. thanks for joining us. This morning, our friend Barry Prince had kind of a rough night, and so I'm on the air live with you again. He may or may not join in. I haven't really gotten that answer, but in the meantime, I've looked up some pretty interesting nuclear stories that you really won't hear anywhere else, and I thought I'd share those with you rather than me just opining on my opinion about all that's going on in the world. I mean, my interest in finding out the nuclear news has a lot to do with my, I guess, my attitude about things. But I want to thank all of you for joining us and helping our show get stronger and more well-known and helping our radio station. And I do want to encourage you, if you can afford it, to drop us a few beans, hit the contribute button when you go to www.ucy.tv/AOF. It does help our station stay strong, so thank you for that. Let me get to these stories about the nuclear industry, which is why we call ourselves the Age of Fission, because since the nuclear age started, Thomas Ackerman contends that it happened a long time ago as soon as they discovered nuclear, and I guess perhaps he's right. I consider the Age of Fission to have happened on 3/11/11, which is coming up. The anniversary of that is coming up, 3/11. It has been 7 long years since, for goodness sake, since they have really decimated the Pacific Ocean. And I think I read this story last week that says 41, 42 sieverts, not microsieverts, sieverts found outside the units at Unit 2. The nuclear industry, all they care about is money, 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 money. Every story that you'll hear, it only talks about money. We never talk about the harm to human health. In fact, you'll be hard-pressed, like that story that I read yesterday about the St. Louis cleanup efforts that Scott Pruitt says he's going to do, how at the end of the story, the guy, the writer, basically disclaimed the harm that it causes human health by saying, you know, cancer, autoimmune diseases, those are suspected to be caused by the radioactive contamination spewing out on the people in St. Louis. But there's no studies to prove it. Against the studies don't show that it's linked. And the reality is there are no studies. We're not allowed to talk about the harm that nuclear causes our health, period. we're just supposed to sit down, shut up, get sick, and die, and pay them all our money along the way, by the way. So, I don't know. I have no love for the nuclear industry. In fact, I have contempt for the nuclear industry. That's the most, anybody who tells me they're pro-nuclear in my head is obviously not looking at the whole picture. Because, yes, nuclear energy is, you know, could actually work if they did it right, maybe. But at this point, they're just bumbling all over themselves. It's like asking a two-year-old to deliver a tray full of drinks. Not going to happen. So let me get to this first story that I found on something called NuclearStreet.com. And every story here, obviously, they love nuclear. And you will notice every story that I picked up from here only talks about what? M-O-N-E-Y. That's right. They could care less about the harm they are causing the planet at all. In fact, you know what? I think before I get into these stories, we'll go take a look at the mass animal deaths for 2018, just to see what they've caused, what massive death they've caused so far. So hold on, I'm going to link into that. I didn't think of it before it got on air. February 3rd, hundreds of starlings fall dead from the sky in Rome, Italy. Could you imagine? Just watch being there and having just birds just falling from the sky. February 3rd, 5 dead dolphins found along the coast of Almeria, Spain. February 2nd, 17 dead dolphins have died in the past 4 months on a river in Chittagong, Bangladesh. February 2nd. Hundreds of dead fish washed up on Harsons Island, Michigan. Oh, by the way, you guys, if anybody wants to interrupt these really gripping stories I'm about to read you and interrupt these mass animal death reports, you can give us a call. The number is 718-717-8106. And we can talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to be related to this murder, death, kill that I report to you first thing in the morning. Good thing a lot of you guys are on the East Coast because it's already 11 o'clock there. So I personally would listen. I actually do listen to this show and to Jules' show while I'm working. Hundreds of birds fall dead in the sky from the sky in Draper, Utah. That's January 31st. Oh, I missed one. Hundreds of dead fish washed up on Harsons Island, Michigan, in America. And you know what I used to do, and I've sort of given this up, but it's almost a lot of related. When you find the fish, you just Google map where it says it is, and almost always there's a nuclear processing plant, there's a chemical processing plant, or it's right next to fracking. And for the denial of the agencies in our governments and these corporations, and the people who run them, the people who live there, to disregard the harm that they're causing our planet because they desperately want their $150,000 jobs, their $200,000 jobs. It's outrageous that they are selling their souls. They're really literally trading in the health of our planet so that they can drive a nice car, live in a nice house, send their kids to college, only to die from cancer by the time they're 40, though. Okay, let's get back to this. January 31st, hundreds of dead and dying seabirds washing up on Tasman Beach in New Zealand. January 31st, 28 dead minke whales. Oh, my God. 28 dead minke whales wash up during the past year. Unusual mortality event along the east coast of America. 7 dead sea lions have washed up during the past month in Mazatlan, Mexico, January 31st. January 29th, 14 dead dolphins found along the beaches in La Costa Partido, Argentina. Wow. January 27th, this is sad. Thousands of penguins dying on Northland's beaches in New Zealand. January 26th, 193 dead turtles found along the coast of Chennai, India. January 26th, 300 dead duck due to disease in Church Christ, New Zealand. January 25th, 30 dead turtles found this month on the beaches of Uruguay. January 24th, 170 dolphins died to, quote, virus in Rio de Janeiro. Okay, I'm done with that. It's way too early in the morning to keep reading this long list. I haven't read it since the beginning of the year, but you get the gist. Massive, massive amounts. I mean, every single day, go to, just type in mass animal deaths and you'll see this lady's website called endtimesprophecy.org. And she's talking about the massive die-off. I mean, this is just unbelievable. January 19, 12 snowy owls. I mean, hundreds of dead fish, thousands of ducks, thousands of fish. I mean, ducks, dolphins, all the animals. They're just, anything that's in the air, in the water, they're just dying. They're just washing up. It's unbelievable. And for them to talk about nuclear as if it's a good thing. Russia, Argentina signed a memorandum of understanding on uranium production. Russia and Argentina signed a memorandum of understanding concerning uranium exploration and mining that the South American country said it hoped would put it on a path towards self-sufficiency in uranium. Wow. At a signing ceremony in Moscow, coinciding with a visit with Argentina's President Mauricio Macri, the two parties also said that discussions were in the works concerning a Russian-designed nuclear power plant in Argentina, which currently derives about 10% of its electricity from three nuclear reactors. That's probably a big fat lie. The MOU was signed by Foreign Minister Jorge Faro, the CEO of UR America, a privately owned uranium exploration firm based in Buenos Aires, and the president and CEO of Uranium One, which is wholly owned by Russian nuclear power group Rosatom. In a joint statement issued after the summit discussions, President Vladimir Putin said Rosatom is proposing a nuclear power plant of Russian design in Argentina based on the latest and safest technological standards. Come on, Vlad, there is no safe technology. Bottom line is, you guys still don't know what to do with the nuclear waste except create nuclear bombs, bud. So that answer is a big fat no. We don't want any more nuclear power plants. We want you to shut them all down and build businesses around how to remediate the harm 50 years of nuclear lies have caused our planet. Gosh darn. In a joint statement issued after the summit discussions, cooperation agreements for a nuclear power plant project were signed in 2015. According to the World Nuclear Association, the exploration and the mining MOU focuses on the situ mining technologies, considering a less invasive style of mining that relies on injecting sandy areas with a solution that dissolves the uranium in the sand. The solution is then pumped into the surface to have the uranium extracted. So it looks like they plan on just blasting the daylights. Fracking, essentially, is what they're doing. They're going to frack for uranium, you guys. I guess that's what they're doing in Wyoming, because Wyoming is a horrible, horrible uranium mining. I mean, the people there are suffering terribly from all kinds of massive diseases. It's a horrible thing. The Argentina Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the technique is the most efficient method due to its low cost and minimal environmental impact. Huh. Yeah, go tell that to the people who are going to get sick near where you're going to be blasting it. The signing of the memorandum seeks to position Argentina as a global uranium producer in the region to fully satisfy Argentine demand for this metal from now on, until America starts its own production and our country gradually becomes self-sufficient in uranium, the ministry said. The MOU stipulates an original investment target of $250 million. As I'm reading this story, I'm thinking about that book, that I'm actually rereading it right now. I'm reading the new version, Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. He rewrote it. And actually, I like the rewrite. It's better than the original. I'm glad he did rewrite it. I think everybody should read that book. It really talks about this, how they, these big targets of big money, this is how they draw these poor countries in. And basically, they're tying their hands. We're talking about signing an agreement with Uranium One, which is a wholly owned Russian nuclear power group, Rosatom. So Russia's getting its digs in down south, folks. Pretty interesting. Well, back here in the States, First Energy warns of 3 plant closures. Not soon enough. 3 nuclear power plants are headed for an early shutdown due to financial concerns, never health concerns. And First Energy on Friday calling attention to the plight of the Davis-Bessie plant near Toledo, Ohio, the Perry plant near Cleveland, and the Beaver plant close to Pittsburgh, PA. First Energy is closest to a call on shuttering the Davis-Bessie plant than it is to the other 2 facilities, the Associated Press reported. Otherwise, no shutdown dates have been set for any of the plants. First Energy Chief Financial Officer James Pearson said the deregulated markets had undermined the energy economics in the region, given the competition with natural gas, which has gone through a disrupting price shift with the advent of hydrofracking, which could undercut prices for decades to come. I hope so. But we don't want the fracking either. You know, that's the sad part. We had Shaziz on. We had Larry Wood on our show. These are just 2 regular Americans who have developed technologies that could eliminate the need for fracking, eliminate the need for oil, eliminate the need for nuclear, have completely renewable energy just from the resources we already have that God has given us. Back to the story. The Federal Regulatory Commission's rejection of the Trump administration's plan to help both coal and nuclear power plants has also contributed to uncertainty in financial expectations. A more immediate concern, however, is the $100 million debt payment First Energy is due to pay in April. Ding, ding, ding. They have to pay $100 million in April. So what are the bets that's going to happen? Facing the upcoming hurdle, those units cannot generate enough cash to cover costs, Pearson said. The closure would represent 3 more huge investments shuttered before their time. Investments, investments, investments. The Bessie Davis plant was licensed through April 2037. The Beaver Valley's 2 units are licensed through January 2036 and May 2047, while the Perry plant is licensed through March 2026. You know, it's interesting they talk about this because I wonder if they have applied for the licenses to be extended. Those are long periods of time. Most plants are only good for 40 years. So how did Beaver Valley's unit get licensed through May 47? They probably did ask for an extension. If they all close this year, cross our fingers, the region and the country would lose out on 38 years of investment. Our country will lose out on 38 years of investment, almost the life expectancy of a brand new power plant prior to license extensions. Prior to life extensions, get license extensions. That's the end of the story. And oh my gosh, the nails are just spitting out of my mouth at that sentence. I just can't get over it. These people are mentally ill. They're literally mentally ill. Who could write that sentence? If all 3 closed, it would be a boon for our country. It would be so awesome if we could just shut down every single nuclear facility. And just like Japan, boom, we'd hardly skip a beat. In fact, we probably wouldn't even feel the impact because we wouldn't have to import the coal because it's already here. The energy's already here. They already have their old dirty technology going. That is just it. And listen to how they frame this. Almost the life expectancy of a brand new nuclear power plant prior prior to license extensions. So they, just like this, May 1947, so they're keeping a crippled nuclear power plant open through May of 47 because they could care less about human life. This is why I hardly go to this website, because the stories they write are so framed pro-nuclear, just I can't help but spit nails while I'm reading it. Okay, but this is kind of a good one. Another shutdown. Yippee! You know, it's not like they're actually doing us a favor. They're only shutting them down when they're about to lose money. What'd they have to pay? $100 million debt. Their first debt, it's a debt payment. That's all it is. A more immediate concern, however, is a $100 million debt payment. So that means that's not their total debt. I wonder what their whole total debt is. So maybe that will be why. So let's cross our fingers and hope they can't find the money. Let's hope the economy staggers a bit to shut these plants down. Wouldn't that be awesome? Since money is the only thing that matters to them, if the economy collapses, I don't think they could sustain the nuclear facilities. But then when I think about it, that kind of gets into a sort of a, you know, if they had to really shut them down, you know, that might actually be more dangerous. That's when the activists really have to come out and be the watchdogs. That's when you have to, like Donna Gilmore, that's how she got engaged. They were closing down. She got engaged in shutting down San Onofre, and then she discovered this business about the waste. And as we read yesterday, they're still moving the waste 100 feet, much, much closer to the ocean. Yeah, let's just destroy the entire planet. I think that's their MO, man. Here's another story that I found on nuclearstreet.com. Oh, man, these guys are just a wealth of, I don't know, anger management practice. I guess that's it. Exelon accelerates Oyster Creek nuclear power plant shutdown schedule. Thank God. Exelon Generation on Friday announced on Friday, what's the date of this? Just like the nuclear industry, they don't give any dates on anything. On Friday. So here they have a story that mentions Friday. Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, they have it way over here. February 2nd, 2018. Okay. Exelon Generation on Friday announced it would shut down the Oyster Creek Generating Station in New Jersey in October of this year. Cross our fingers, sending the 49-year-old plant into retirement 11 years before its license was set to expire in April 2029 and 1 year ahead of its previously announced closure date. The company said it would start to close the plant as part of an agreement with the state of New Jersey. That's in quotes, quote, as part of an agreement with the state of New Jersey, unquote. The new schedule for closure, said Exelon, will allow the company to meet its commitment with the state, quote, while helping employees find jobs elsewhere in the company and managing costs, unquote. Exelon said in its release that continuing to operate Oyster Creek, one of the two oldest nuclear power plants in the country, was cost prohibitive. Who cares about the fact that it's leaking and it's a aging disaster in the making? It's cost prohibitive. You know what that means? They can't keep affording to repair this old geezer. The company opted for a closure earlier than previously scheduled to, quote, better manage resources as fuel and maintenance costs continue to rise amid historically low power prices. It was started up on the same day in 1969, that the 9 Mile Point plant started operations in Owego, New York, the Associated Press reported. Oyster Creek is technically older, however, because its operating license was issued first. The plant will continue with a workforce of approximately 500 until October of 2018. After that, some will stay on to safely and securely decommission the facility after its shutdown, they said in a statement. Man, that would be super awesome. It's just not close. It's just unbelievable. It needs to be shut down. There's a bigger story behind that, and I know Libby Halevi has reported on that. This thing is disaster. Oh, and then that was the good news, and now the bad news for the United States of America. Okay, here they are. It's the same website, folks, nuclearstreet.com. DOE hails SMR benefits. A new report released by the U.S. Department of Energy, authored by Seth Kirschenberg and Hillary Jackler of the law firm Kutak Rock, addresses the need for clean, reliable power, specifically on how Tennessee Valley Authority could meet its needs at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Among the report's recommendations, the authors conclude that, quote, permitting federal agencies to enter into agreements with a term up to 30 years to purchase power produced by SMR small modular reactors would help achieve the Tennessee Valley Authority, that's TVA's, goals. So those are the monsters. These are the legalese monsters. Seth Kirschenberg and Hillary Jackler of the firm Kutak Rock. Kutak Rock. I wonder where they're. We should protest outside them, guys. We need to look where they're at. The report also recommends that the government facilitate TVA's Clinch River site project as a pilot project for SMRs, while simultaneously providing DOE with critical energy resilience and a potential opportunity to conduct research and isotope services. The authors recommended extending the 2005 Energy Policy Act production tax credits and allow applicability to public power utilities. As well, the government was urged to include nuclear power in the definition of clean power. Wow! And to authorize DOE's loan program to continue to support advanced reactors. For real? I'm definitely going to make a comment at the DOE. I'm going to call them up. Nuclear is not clean in any way. Wow, that sends my blood boiling. Further endorsing SMR technology, the report concludes that the DOE and the Department of Defense should collaborate to create a list of government facilities that could benefit from having an SMR located near the facility to achieve added energy resilience. Oh my gosh. So we definitely have to call. I mean, this is the thing. If they put it near the Department of, if the Department of Defense says they need that, it's going in. There's no stopping it. The Department of Defense does whatever it wants, period. Oh, my God. That is just outrageous. Let me finish this story. Well, the aim of the report was to find out if SMR technology would increase the government's energy resilience, and resilience is in quotes, folks. The development of SMR technology is also timely in the age of potentially catastrophic global warming. The United States power sector will be defined in coming years by the need to increase its low carbon and, quote, clean power by ensuring that power is provided reliably and at low cost. This is particularly relevant to baseload power. Hey, I just got a pop-up message from Barry. He wants me to give him a call, so I'm going to add him to the group right in the middle of this story, folks. I think God gave me that little answer because I really needed a little respite. Let me see if I can do this. Let's see. Yay, I didn't disconnect you. How about that? Yippee! Get back to that story just in case this doesn't work. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Lonnie Clark.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to hear your voice. Glad to have you back on.
Yeah, it's been a kind of crazy last 3 weeks here. I've been dealing with this large job, and then I actually left Prince Rupert yesterday at 11:30 in the morning and got home about 8 o'clock last night. Halfway home. They opened the highway, but then halfway home, they were working on an avalanche and they had another little slide. So I ended up sitting on the highway for about 5 hours watching them move this slide out of the way. And finally, I got home last night about 8 o'clock. I was going to go on the air today, Lonnie, but I couldn't get home in time to get a guest together in the last.
No, that's fine.
Kind of crazy, but
I don't know.
I wanted to join you for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I don't know if you've been listening, but I'm sitting here spitting nails. I go to this pro-nuclear site called NuclearStreet.com, and we're reading about, this is really kind of them telling us, it's this latest story that I'm reading is about the small nuclear reactors.
Right.
There's a this attorney group, Kutak Rock, is trying to talk the government into saying that nuclear is clean power, and encouraging the Department of Defense to collaborate to build these near their nuclear facilities. All I talk about is just that this is the thing that gets me the most about the nuclear industry. They only talk about the medical conditions. Like that story I read yesterday, I don't know if you heard it, but they were talking about Scotty Pruitt saying he's going to, you know, clean up Westlake Landfill. Finally, he's made a statement about it, right? But at the end of the story, the writer wrote something about, well, they're having these persistent cancers and degenerative diseases, but there's no real proof that it's caused by nuclear. And what really made me mad is there's no studies. They've intentionally not studied. In fact, the EPA is currently in a study because there were so many, because of the just the facts, please, at the Bridgeton Group. They created their own plot charts, and they did a lot of their own epidemiological comparisons, like medical, like these are medical people. This is doctors and engineers, and they actually created an epidemiological study amongst themselves to compare. And so it was so compelling, the EPA now is running their own studies on this, which they say will take 3 to 5 years. So,
well, it's insane that the EPA isn't exploring alternative energy sources, because you mentioned Ziz and you mentioned Larry Woods earlier in the show there, Lonnie, and those two gentlemen alone, what they're doing right now could literally change the world. So why is it being held back? Well, we know why it's being held back. We know who's in charge, and we know the people in power are never going to let us have free energy unless we bring it forward and demand it. And I think we could if we started large grassroots movements saying, hey, we're stepping away from the system. Nuclear power, to me, Lonnie, is insanity. We've talked about it. I talk about it all the time on my shows. You know, we're as a human race, we're committing suicide.
Yeah, pretty much.
And when is the human race going to wake up to the fact that we are committing suicide, and our children are really looking at a bleak future right now? You're reading off the list of die-offs of animals. Well, I follow those lists all the time. I look at them every day, Lonnie. And people just aren't getting it, man, that we're in serious trouble. Where are we going to live, guys? I don't have a ticket to Mars. Do you, Lonnie?
Well, you know, that's what they're trying to do, ticket to Mars. Speaking of, that's why people love Elon Musk, because he's planning on bringing, what do you say, he plans on bringing 1 million people to Mars? I mean, the problem is, that's a good idea, except there's billions of us on this planet. Who picks?
We're not on the list, Lonnie, I guarantee
just,
you that.
I distinctly remember hearing, I had to do a report in one of my science classes, and we all had to do a report, and I did mine on something about the nuclear, it was about how the IAEA controls the World Health Organization, and they were kind of shocked over it, but there was a girl in the class who did this whole thing about, should we go to other planets? And her conclusion was, yes, we should, because this planet is dying. And I said, well, you know, that's all well and good, but who picks who goes? Who's going to make the decision on who goes and who stays? Let's just be clear. I mean, this is just the outrage. And think of the billions of dollars that could be made just in developing remediation businesses, because people want to have a clean environment. And they would buy products and get engaged in businesses if they would develop an industry built around remediating the earth and redeveloping things. We could actually make billions and trillions of dollars doing that, you know.
Well, that's where the money should be spent, Lonnie. I mean, any space exploration right now, to me, is just a waste of money. We have a planet here that's in trouble, and if the money that was being spent on space exploration was spent on, like you said, remediating this planet and starting to fix some of the problems, we might make some progress. But we shouldn't be looking out in the stars right now. We should be looking in our backyard.
Yeah, that is
our backyard's a mess.
Yeah, it's
who cares about going out in space if we don't have a planet to live on? And sure, maybe a few of these elite will get to go live on Mars, but that million people—that's well, what?
I don't think that will happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either. But there's 8.5 billion of us, I think, on the planet right now.
Right.
And, a million ain't a lot.
Yeah,
we're not invited.
Yeah, we're not invited, and we're also
we
on a
no
basis. And well, that reminds me of that movie Astro Boy. Have you ever seen it? It's a cartoon movie for kids. It's called Astro Boy. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh my God! I recommend everybody watch that movie because that is them programming our children about what the life is to come. It's a cartoon movie about Astro Boy who originally lived on the satellite that is surrounding the Earth because the Earth is too polluted and only the bad people live down on Earth. And he goes down to Earth and discovers that, yeah, it is a horrible, toxic mess, but not just the bad people live there. And the whole point of the story, I mean, literally, there was a satellite circling the Earth, and the Earth was so polluted with pollution that nobody could live there. I mean, the story of Astro Boy is really shocking. I was watching it. I babysat a neighbor friend of mine, and we sat and watched it. He wanted to watch Astro Boy. I think it was like 6 or 5, and I was like, I kind of have this strict rule. I don't let kids watch television or movies alone. I always watch whatever they're watching so that I understand what's going into their head. So he really wanted to watch this movie. So I'm sitting there watching this movie, and my eyes were bugging out. I couldn't believe the negative projection this thing was giving these kids. Unbelievable. Mm. You know?
Mm. I'll have to watch it.
Need to watch it because it is, I mean, we are entering into a phase of, you know, I just can't, it's really incomprehensible how the nuclear industry just continues to forge ahead. Like these people, these two people, I seriously want to go to this, I want to find out where these people are, attorneys that are trying to get the government in the United States to say that that nuclear power plant is clean energy. What was the name of that group? I just read it. But there's these two attorneys that are trying to talk to the government and say, hey, this is really good for us and we need to have more of them. The little small nuclear, I mean, they're pushing ahead. They are building one in Utah, the small nuclear reactors. So it's not like they're not doing it. They are definitely doing it. And it's Kutak Rock. That's the name of the law firm, Kutak Rock. And there's these, you know, two, they wrote a report to the Department of Energy. So the nuclear industry is paying this law firm to talk the Department of Energy and the Department of Defense into putting in these SMRs near military facilities. That really just, like, my head stood on end when I saw that, because as much as we can stop an SMR from being built in our own town, if the military wants to build an SMR on its military base, it will. There will be no stopping these things. I mean, and probably not just in the United States. Think of where they could put an SMR all around the planet.
Seems like we're going backwards to me, Lonnie. We are going backwards.
Two steps backwards, one step forward, I guess. It's incomprehensible. And part of it, how it's all happening, is the political theater. That's what they do. They baffle us with, you know, they totally confuse the issues. I mean, and people just don't know what to believe. They don't talk that nuclear is that bad. I ran into somebody who was saying that I was grotesquely misinformed, that the harm, yes, some people get sick, but not that many. It's just not that harmful. Because let's look at the reality, because if it was, we wouldn't be having this big overpopulation, because we've had 40, 50 years of nuclear. The population by now would certainly be dropping off. And I'm like, it is. Kids are getting cancer. It's the number one killer of kids. You know, the sterility level. Look at the sterility level in Japan. Oh, my gosh, I did not get to this story. But you know what? The courts in, did I read this? The courts, they increase, court in Tokyo increases payment to some evacuees. So listen to, they had demanded they will be paid slightly more than $31,000 each. So this is, the court ordered the power plant to pay $10 million to 318 Odaka residents who were ordered to evacuate. While the ruling went against TEPCO, however, the sum was a fraction of what the plaintiffs were demanding. They will be paid slightly more than $31,000 each. They had demanded 10 times that amount. They wanted $300,000. Now they're getting $31,000. Previously, the court had ordered them to pay each resident $78,000, but TEPCO fought it. So this is, you know... you know what? I can't wait. We're talking about the Olympics this week. Wait until we get the Olympics in Tokyo. That is unbelievable that they are still planning on having the Tokyo Olympics. I just can't get over that. But people are acting like living in Tokyo, they're not contaminated.
Well, I just read one report about them dumping water from Fukushima into the ocean. I'm trying to find out if it's true.
Oh, yes, it is true, actually. They are. I read that. I think I read that last week.
Yeah, it was last week I read that report.
Yeah, and that was
shocking.
It is. But they've been planning this all along because they know they have nowhere else to go. So this is kind of their plan. They plan on dumping the water that's been sitting there for a few years and then building it back up and dumping it out, like letting it cool, according to them, letting it cool, and then decontaminating it as much as they possibly can. Of course, you can't take out tritium, you know. And I don't know if you could take out plutonium, but I don't think you can take out plutonium. I don't think they can ever get through rid of any of that. So they don't have any regard. This is the point, Barry. They have no regard. They don't care what they're going to do. It doesn't matter to them because they don't plan on living that long. They want to make money, period. It's the money that matters. And the people that work there, the fiber, you know, each power plant has, what, maybe 1,000, 1,500 people. I mean, the arrogance of those 1,500 people... But part of it is brainwashing. You know, they're kind of like battered wives. They're so brainwashed to believe that they need to be there, that they're doing the right thing, that this energy is going to save. You should see them if you've ever come across some very pro-nukes types. Their eyes get crossed when you talk to them about the health effects of nuclear. They don't believe it. Literally, they just don't believe it. It's like trying to talk to people about Traitor Trump. They think he's doing the country a good thing, so I don't know, you know. I mean, therein lies the difference, you know. So it's the same. It's the very same tactics. It's all done with brainwashing. It's all done with conditional responses. That's why people get so adamant and so hardened in their positions that they can't see the forest through the trees because they've just been brainwashed. Like, who was it that my science teacher, her father worked at Hanford. He died of cancer, really severe. He immediately degenerated. As soon as he retired, within 2 years, he got a very severe, unusual form of cancer and died within a year and a half. And I said, well, don't you think it's from his exposure of working at Hanford? She's like, oh, no, that's completely unrelated. You get cancer from a lot of other things, not that. Well, now, that was my science teacher. That was a science teacher.
Well, there is studies out there that correlate the rise in cancers in areas that nuclear power plants are operating. I don't know if people are aware of those reports, but they're out there. And
yeah, that's Dr. Chris Busby's report.
There isn't a coincidence here.
That's actually true. In fact, Dr. Chris Busby actually won some court cases by proving that that the closer you live to a nuclear facility, the greater your chances of your children getting some type of catastrophic disease.
Right.
I mean, it
don't
is.
Tell me that's a coincidence, folks.
And autism. Autism also. You know, autism is a really
autism,
big story.
Autism is a big, big subject these days, man. My daughter is an early childhood educator with the system here. And she just went to a workshop on autism. And we had a talk about it. And, of course, the system is blaming autism on everything. But what is really causing autism?
The vaccines and nuclear.
Of course. But we had a good conversation about that. She's looking at both sides of the story. She's not being indoctrinated, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that are kind of... And that's another movie people really actually need to see is Vaxxed. If you have not seen Vaxxed, I highly recommend it. You can get it on... I think it's available on Prime on Amazon.
It is, and you know what? Anybody, I've showed that movie to people in my living room. I had 11 people sit in my living room one night.
Wow.
And watch Faxed, and they'll tell you, of the five women there, there wasn't a dry eye amongst any of them.
It wow. really did.
People have to watch that movie. They really have to watch that movie because it puts a completely different perspective on everything that you're being told. And what Ty Bollinger and all these other people that are involved in VAX have done over the last couple of years, I applaud them. I support that 100%. And
well, you know, they've still never scheduled a hero. They've never scheduled. In fact, after I watched that movie, I found out, I called Congress and called around, and no, they have still not scheduled an appointment to have that whistleblower come testify. Still
no,
not.
They don't want them coming forward, man. They'll delay this as long as they possibly can, Lonnie, because what's going to happen when he comes forward, the cat is going to be out of the bag, and they know it. So I was wondering about that myself. Why haven't they scheduled a hearing for this whistleblower in Congress? He's waiting, wants to come forward. He wants to tell his story, and yet they're not giving him the opportunity to do so. So we know.
And what's really bizarre is the way they seriously deny. Like when you talk to them, they look at you. I mean, what's interesting about the Vax movie? The caveat for me in the Vax movie was the increase, the spike. While vaccines. When we were younger, did cause occasionally some kid to get sick, but they intentionally, the corporation that owns the company puts the three shots together, and you can't undo them in the United States, right? So you have to give your children these three vaccines that have that spiked. As soon as they put the three vaccines together, measles, mumps, and rubella in one shot, the effects, the negative effects of autism skyrocketed. That stunned me in the report. And the logic of them just demanding that corporation to untie those three vaccines, to even if they want to hang on to the vaccine industry. Okay, I get it, because there have been vaccines that have worked. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I got my vaccines when I was a kid. I didn't know anybody who got sick from it. Unlike today, when kids do get sick. I mean, I had a friend of mine, actually. Well, he didn't get sick from vaccines. He got sick from, he became autistic because his doctor gave him too many antibiotics in the first year of his life, I think.
Right.
So, well,
it's also the amount of vaccines that are being administered to children now. It's catastrophic, and they want to add more to the regimen all the time. I mean, if you look at the rise in the amount of vaccines that are being given to children, and you look at a chart of the rise of autism, the two charts are almost identical.
My niece called me from the doctor. She had to take her kids in for vaccines. She's in some program with the system, right? And so she had to take her kids in to get the vaccines. The doctor wanted to give her daughter, who had just turned two, and her other daughter three. No, one was just about to turn three, and the other one was not quite two. He wanted to give them 13 vaccines at one shot. She called me up crying from the doctor's office. She's like, what do I do? They're going to make me do this. I have to get this done. It's part of the program. And I'm like, tell them to break it up in as many few sessions as you can, because they're going to make the kids get the vaccines, period. If you're involved in any kind of government program or any housing system or anything like that, you have to go to their people. So that's what she did. She had them break them up. I think the doctor allowed her to break them up in five sessions. It worked out to like five sessions. She had to go back five times within a month or 6 weeks. It turned out to be 6 weeks because they wanted to get them all in a month, but she wasn't going to go back two times in 1 week. Can you believe this? Like, and the doctors were like, well, you have to have them. She has to have them. You know, it was like so outrageous. I mean, it's kind of like the nuclear facility, to be honest. The whole mentality of just ignoring human health in favor of profit is really kind of the fundamental key. This is why I say in my intro, we really are assets on a balance sheet. If you look at every one of these stories I read this morning, none of them talk about the threat to human health. They all talk, even this story about the three nuclear power plants shutting down. I mean, that will actually be really great when it does shut down. But, you know, the closure of three, they're having to close it down because of the $100 million debt payment First Energy is due in April. So they're going to close down three nuclear power facilities. And so, but it's because it's unsustainable. They can't, you know, these things are just nothing but disasters from the beginning. The only reason we have them is for nuclear war. Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm. They were never, ever designed to provide power, man. They were designed to provide weapons-grade plutonium. And if people look into it, they'll find out what you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. That was just a schmozzle right from the beginning. And where are we now, man? Look at all these nuclear plants. I mean, you follow the scrams on these plants all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. every day we're having an incident at a plant. I mean, how many years are we into nuclear power now? 50, 60 years? And what's going to come in the next 15, 20 years as we see these plants continue to fall apart?
You know what I'd like them to do? Man,
we got to get nuclear power off the planet, totally.
Well, the reason
we have the technology to do it. We have the means to do it.
Yeah, but it's because they really are about nuclear weapons, because the plutonium doesn't last. Like, it doesn't. You can't just build the plutonium and it sits on the shelf and you can use it in 40 years. You have to keep generating the plutonium. You have to keep up the generation. That's why uranium and uranium mining is a huge industry. And the power facilities are just an excuse for having it. That's the reason that they say they need it. But the real reality is it's the effect of plutonium. We can't just take all these closed power facilities and say, okay, give us your plutonium, we're good to go. I mean, if we could do that, we could close down the power facilities. But the fact is they need new plutonium. Very, very within a short span of time. It doesn't just sit. I think it degrades pretty rapidly for nuclear weapons use. So that's kind of the dirty little secret. That's why they're pushing nuclear facilities. I mean, Saudi Arabia is about to build its own first nuclear power plant.
Well, we need more nuclear weapons, Lonnie. I mean, we only have enough right now to kill everything on the planet 800 times over.
There's a story in The
Economist. We better build some more.
Exactly. There's a story in The Economist I was going to read. It's called How a Saudi Nuclear Reactor Could Accelerate an Arms Race, as if it needs more acceleration. The project started 10 years ago in Washington. So they are really actually going to do this. They're going to build it in the middle of the desert. They're close to finishing the Arab world's first. So they're very close, this nuclear power facility. A South Korean firm is close to finishing the Arab world's first operational nuclear power reactor. Wow. Both can be used to make nuclear weapons. Arms control wonks call it the gold standard of the 123 deals. Okay. The project started 10 years ago in Washington, where the Emeritus negotiated the 123 agreement. Such deals, named after a clause in the America's export control laws, impose tough safeguards in return for America's nuclear technology. When the UAE signed one in 2009, it also pledged not to enrich uranium or reprocess spent fuel into plutonium. Both can be used to make nuclear weapons. Arms control wonks call it the gold standard of 123 deals. Really? And we really believe Saudi Arabia not to enrich its uranium or process it into plutonium? Saudi Arabia only wants bronze. The kingdom also has its ambitions on nuclear plants, 16 reactors at a cost of $80 billion. But unlike the UAE, it also wants to do its own enrichment. Mm-hmm. So it is actually saying that it's doing the most controversial provision in the nuclear deal it signed with the world's power in 2015 allows it to enrich uranium. Iran did agree to a mothball, but most of the centrifuges used for enrichment, but to process the stuff only to a level far below that is required to make a bomb. Wow. And the Saudis want to have it too. Oh, wow. So, they're moving ahead. Murder, death, kill. Let's see how many people we can kill in one bomb. I think, you know, that's the thing. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. There's an old documentary. It's called Half-Life. And it is about the bombing of the Marshall Islands. It's pretty hard to find, but if you can keep looking for it, you can find it on the internet and in some of the places. I don't think Amazon has it. But I got a hold of a copy of it, and I will tell you what, it is a shock. You actually see the crazed look in the eyes of the generals because they were photographing. This is a photograph of the generals and the animals and the soldiers and the people, and it's basically a documentary of what they did to the Marshall Islands. But you can see the lunatic eyes. I think the guy's name was McLaughlin, General McLaughlin, who oversee all this. And the guy is just obviously a lunatic. I mean, these look at the lunatics we have sitting in the White House, Mad Dog Mattison, Kelly. I mean, these people are completely murderers, abusers, and liars. I mean, they have no regard for human life. What, you know, that's the downside to sending soldiers off to war for so long and creating nonstop wars, is that people forget to lose sight that life is for living, not for killing.
Well, there's some crazy stuff going on in our world right now, for sure, Lonnie. And where it's all going, I don't know. But we're definitely seeing some incredible events unfold. So hopefully... hopefully somebody with some sanity comes along and puts a stop to it all, but right now we're in a bit of a situation, as far as I'm concerned.
A bit of a situation, that's an understatement. That's hilarious, a bit of a situation. We got a situation here. Well, we definitely have a situation here,
and it seems to be getting out of control, and how do we stop it? I don't know. What's coming in the next little while? I don't know, but I know that we're about to see some crazy stuff unfold on this planet.
We are seeing crazy stuff unfold.
But crazier than what we're seeing right now. It's going to escalate.
What's going to really happen is the economy is going to collapse. They're creating a timely collapse of the economy. And then,
that's their ticket.
You know, I mean, what's going to really be sad is when we have a massive earthquake. That's going to be the thing that all of us are sort of, we know it's not a matter of if. We're not going to make it 100 years on the West Coast without a massive major earthquake. And we have too many nuclear, I mean, they're moving the fuel at San Onofre 100 feet closer to the ocean to store it in permanently. That's an outrage, you know. And they're trying
If the Cascadia fault line ruptures, all our lives will change in ways that we don't even understand right now. That's how critical a situation we're in, and these geological events are going to happen. The Cascadia, as far as I'm concerned, is the biggest threat we face right now. But you take that and you add the San Madre and, of course, the San Andreas and all these other fault lines that are on the verge of going right now. Boy, take one of them to go off, and you could see three or four major earthquakes happen around the planet, and we could see major movements. The Cascadia, like I said, that's the one that I'm watching really closely right now. 88 years overdue for movement, and when it does move, it's going to be a 9 to a 9.2 and a minimum of a 50-foot tsunami hitting the West Coast. Well, that scenario alone absolutely is just mind-boggling when we look at the total destruction of all the shipping ports, all the plants that are the nuclear power plants that are operating on the West Coast right now,
the submarine bases sitting in Seattle.
No idea, Lonnie, of the destruction that's going to come when that fault line ruptures, and it could go in the next 5 minutes from now. It is that critical of a situation, so keep your eyes on that one, guys. That's the one I'm watching really closely right now.
Yeah, well, the Cascadia, and even if the Cascadia didn't erupt that badly, oh my gosh, it's 8:58. It could actually create something going wrong down in the San Andreas Fault, or you know, the New Madras Fault,
Yellowstone National Park, man.
Exactly. Well, we've got 15 seconds.
They're all tied together here right now. We've got 10 seconds. I want to thank you for joining us, you guys. I'll be here next week for sure. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Put your courage feet on, you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.